Item 11, application fees and hearing officers.
Sir, just bear with me a second. I want to load one map up here. This is really an administrative issue, asking the commission to consider really two things under this agenda item. One is the application fee for wetlands and dune beach applications, and the other is the appointment of our designation of our environmental engineers as hearing officers. First, I'll go through the application fee issue. And this is only in those localities that have not adopted either the wetland ordinance or the dune beach ordinance, and you act as the board for either of those ordinances. In Tidewater, Virginia, each locality has the option of adopting either the dunes beach ordinance or the wetlands ordinance or both. And what you see on this map is those counties in the western part of Tidewater that have not been colored in, they have not adopted either of the ordinances, beach, wetlands, or dune beach. And you see Chesapeake down there at the bottom of the map. They had adopted the wetlands ordinance originally but rescinded it about a year or so ago. So from a wetland standpoint, the commission acts as the board. The colored counties, the darker green localities, wetlands ordinances have been adopted. And in the more khaki, lighter green color, the dune, beach, and wetland ordinances have been adopted. So in those darker green colors, the dune beach ordinance has not been adopted, and you would act as the board where there's a beach or a dune in those localities. Over the last 18 months, 15 applications have come before the commission for either a wetland case or a beach dune case. And we're seeing more beach dune cases probably in, because there's more area that hasn't adopted the ordinance. But we're also seeing a few wetland cases in those counties to the western part of Tidewater and since Chesapeake has rescinded the ordinance. For some time, we realized that our fee amount for wetland applications was very low. It's $10 for a wetland application and zero for a beach dune application. And looking back at when that was established, what I found was that in 1980, the commission adopted that fee schedule, $10 for a wetland application and a zero for a beach dune application. Obviously, it costs staff in the state more than that to process an application. And so what we are recommending you do is set a application fee for both ordinances at $300. We feel that, on average, considering how much time it takes an environmental engineer to review an application, go to the site, process the application, how much time it takes clerical staff to type letters, send things out in the mail, prepare packets, that $300 covers much of that. As I looked at the amount of average staff time on an application and the cost for staff, the numbers are a little bit higher than $300, but we felt $300 was a good figure. And that is fairly consistent with what other localities are assessing where they have adopted the ordinance. In your packet, there's a table that lists each Tidewater locality and the amount of the fee that they assess. You'll see that it ranges from zero to $600 and some. Only a couple localities don't charge anything, and one of those I think was Williamsburg, and they hardly have ever any applications. I think another was Charles City. They might have a few applications each year, but not a lot. So in keeping with the staff cost and to recoup some of our costs associated with the review of these applications and considering that it's sort of in line with many of the fees charged at the local level, we are proposing that you establish a $300 non-refundable application fee, and we would collect that when the application is submitted as part of the complete package and then go toward the processing and holding the appropriate hearings. Before you vote on that, though, I'll go ahead and brief the situation on the hearing officer and ask you to consider that as well, although I do think a motion on each item would be appropriate and a vote on each item would be appropriate separately. The code allows the commission to designate hearing officers to conduct hearings for wetland applications or for beach dune applications. What we have done over the last number of years is we just scheduled a public hearing for the commission meeting. And that's the first time the public has had a chance to comment on the project, not too dissimilar than what a wetland board does. But given the nature of the commission agendas that you deal with protested subaqueous projects, you're dealing with fishery regulations, and any other number of issues, we thought we might try to capitalize on this authority to designate a hearing officer, and maybe we could streamline the agenda a little bit with regard to wetland or beach dune cases. So what we are asking you to do is designate each of the environmental engineers within the Habitat Management Division as a hearing officer. And what we would try to do in most cases, and it may not work in every one, is hold a hearing separately from a commission meeting. We would propose most often doing it here. Hank might want to do it on the Eastern Shore just to make it easier on not only staff but the folks from over there. Hold a hearing here, and then bring it to the commission later, say that month, within 30 days, because we're supposed to make a decision within 30 days of a hearing. And then we could just, if there's a non-protested project, a non-controversial project, and the applicant has designed a project that we feel is consistent with the guidance and our recommendation, we wouldn't have to go through a long wetland hearing, wetland briefing, and a long hearing on the project, or even hold a hearing on the project. You could hear from staff. We could give you a synopsis of what the case was about, make it very brief, and then you could act on it. That's not to say you couldn't vote to open the hearing back up or consider more testimony, and it might be some certain cases where staff can't agree with what the applicant wants to do, or we know there's some people that might want to speak to you where we think it would be appropriate, but you would not have to hold another public hearing. So it's just an opportunity to streamline the process a bit for the commission at the meetings to get through these quickly. And I would envision that we could possibly get to a point where some of the wetland applications were almost handled like what we call our page two projects that are over $500,000 in project costs. So with that, that's the rationale behind the two administrative items that are on this agenda item, the fee component and the hearing officer component. And I'll be glad to try and answer any questions you might have.
Any questions to Tony? Any? Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I think the hearing officer idea is a very good one. I think that would effectively streamline the process and create some efficiencies that we don't currently have, but it would do so without compromising the public interest review of the projects and would allow for a full review and dialogue at the commission level and presentation if that's necessary. So I think that makes good sense. I wanted to ask about the first presentation on the fees. Tony, do you have a sense of how many applications you might receive in a year, and would those funds go to the general fund, or would those funds go to the agency?
It
would go to the agency.
And, like I said, last year, last 18 months I looked at, we had 15 applications over an 18-month period. It's, you know, roughly one a month or so. When Chesapeake rescinded the ordinance, we saw a spike up, you know, as probably, you know, half a dozen to a dozen in that county each year. Prior to that, we might have only seen a wetland application once every, you know, 6 months or so. So it's changed with regard to Chesapeake rescinding the ordinance and the beach dune legislation that expanded that authority throughout Tidewater rather than just the eight localities down here on the bay and on the ocean where it originally applied. That brought some areas under jurisdiction, and not all localities have embraced or adopted that changed ordinance. So, again, you know, a you know, just one a month or a dozen a month every year, you know, probably is a good sort of idea of workload.
Tony, this is an administrative decision on the fee, correct?
Yes, the code.
No regulatory action, public hearing.
It doesn't appear the way the code is structured that it requires anything other than you just to establish the fee based on the direction that the code provides to the governing agency.
This is really about cost recovery, not revenue generation.
Exactly.
Anyone wish to be heard on these two matters? All right, seeing none of the matters before the commission.
Could we,
Mr. Fox?
Can we have some sort of a review of the fees, let's say every 3 years or something like that? Could we have that written into our motion?
It's been 33 years since we looked at it. It seems like it's kind of in order.
Yeah.
I would certainly support that.
Okay.
What's your pleasure?
I'll move let's take them one at a time. On the fees, I'll move the recommendation of staff on the fees with a additional requirement that there be a review every 3 years of the level of the fees.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Robbins. Any objection to the motion? Matter is approved. $300.
I'm just being smart.
The next matter is the hearing officer issue. What's your pleasure on that?
Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion to approve the staff recommendation and designate the commission's environmental engineers as hearing officers for applications requiring a permit under the wetlands or coastal primary sand dune ordinances.
There's a second to that motion. Seconded by Mr. Beck. Any comments? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, that motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, while we're talking about fees, I just want to make a comment that I think our fees on after-the-fact applications are incredibly low. And I'm afraid that because the fees are so low there, people go ahead and do things feeling the penalty is a whole lot less than the gain they think they're going to get. So I realize that's probably one set by the General Assembly.
Tony, you want to address that?
Well, the cap on the civil charges is set by the General Assembly.
And the permit fee is?
And the permit fee,
$25?
For subaqueous applications are set by the General Assembly at $25 for projects under $10,000 in value, $100 for projects over $10,000 in value. So the cap on the civil charge assessment would have to be raised by the General Assembly if it went up. And the fees for subaqueous applications, where it's channeled of mean low water, that would require a legislative change.
And the agency has higher. Looked at some legislative changes there, but in not too distant past, 2 years ago, and I recall it met with some fairly heavy opposition, and when we compared the amount of revenue that would be generated from that versus the opposition we were getting in the assembly, I think the former commissioner decided, you know, that battle wasn't worth it at that point in time, and that issue kind of went away.
Well, I guess I'm just focused on the after the fact ones, not the normal applications in due course, but the people who come in after the fact applications, and that.
Well, and that
seemed to me to be very serious.
A little over a year ago, we did go back to the civil charge matrix and upped the categories amounts in the matrix to sort of hopefully deter some of the after the fact application work that we were seeing. I think it has had some impact on the regulated community that deal with these issues. But certainly it's something we'll have to keep an eye on. I will say, just keep in mind that if the commission were to feel that something was way beyond what the $10,000 fee would cover, there's always the civil penalty route. Now, of course, that gets Mr. Kugelman involved, and that means going before a judge and seeking civil penalties of $25,000. But that opportunity does exist in code.
Thank you.